Good morning.
Good morning.
Just out of curiosity, if you would be so bold, if you're going through any type of a struggle or a trial, if you feel like you're being tested, if there's things in your life you wonder about, when's God going to answer this? When am I going to hear God from God on this? If you're in that position today, raise your hand. A lot of hands. Good, good. This message is
for you.
All right. So before we start to get into the message, I just, I know everybody's wondering how Pastor Kevin's doing. Just kind of a brief update without going into too much of his personal medical information. He did have a mild heart episode. That would be how I describe it, because he is at home doing fine. The only thing that he required was a minor medication adjustment, and whatever it was that Satan was trying to throw at him, God stopped it immediately. Okay? So we just say that, and we declare that, and we speak that over Kevin today. And just some other little details. I know it's hard because we all love our pastor to not contact him, to not text him, to give him his peace and his rest. And so that's something that I just wanted to publicly ask each of you. You're probably wondering, why didn't this go out on the text message prayer chain? Because Kevin attaches himself to everything that goes on, including the prayer chain. So every text message that would have went out, his phone would have been blowing up. And you all know our pastor, he still had his phone with him. So that's what that was about, just kind of word of mouth and just giving him the respect that he deserves and giving him the peace and the rest and just allow him to have a few days of no one texting, no one calling, just him and God. So anyway, today, I am going to start by telling a story. This is a story that we are all familiar with. When I thought about today's topic, this old story came to mind. It is the story of the three little pigs. My wife laughed at me when I told her what it was, but I think it's definitely relatable, and I love the story. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. One pig built a house of straw, while the second pig built his house with sticks. They built their houses very quickly and sang and danced all day because they were lazy. I didn't write the story. The third little pig worked hard all day, and he built his house with bricks. A big bad wolf saw the two little pigs while they danced and played, and the wolf thought, what juicy, tender meals they will make. Especially if they're lazy. They're probably not real built up and muscular. He chased the two little pigs, and they ran and they hid in their houses. The big bad wolf went to the first house, and he huffed and he puffed, and he blew the house down in minutes. The frightened little pig ran to the second little pig's house that was made of sticks. The big bad wolf now came to this house, and he huffed, and he puffed, and he blew the house down very easily. Now the two little pigs were terrified and ran to the third pig's house that was made of bricks. The big bad wolf tried to huff and puff and blow the third house down, but he could not. He kept trying for hours, but the house was very strong, and the little pigs were safe inside. He tried to enter through the chimney, but the third little pig boiled a big pot of water and kept it below the chimney. The wolf fell into the pot of water and died. The two little pigs now felt sorry for having been so lazy. They, too, built their houses with bricks and lived happily ever after. You know, the story comes to a quick conclusion here, but I bet you while I was reading at that story, you're already seeing where I'm probably going to go with this. Today, what I would like to talk about is what does it mean to have a firm foundation as a Christian? As we use the three little pigs as an example, let us begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much this morning for sending your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being obedient to the Father because of the joy that was set before you, that you followed through with the Father's plan when you hung on that cross. You shed your blood and you died for our sins. You, Lord Jesus, became the chief cornerstone upon which the Church of Christ has been founded. And we just thank you so much that you loved us so much, even unto your death, that we might be spared and have eternal life with you. I ask that your Holy Spirit would be with me this morning as I share this fun story, but apply it by using your word in comparisons to this story. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would work through this message and that you would reach the hearts that you want to reach with it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the story, the first and second little pigs quickly built their houses out of straw. Not only were these little pigs lazy, but they were seeking the immediate gratification of being done with their work so they could dance and make merry. Now, as you think about that, you could probably look in the world today. What's today? Anybody know what today is besides what's going on in church? I bet you every man in America knows what today is. It's opening day of the NFL. Opening day of the NFL season. Not too many guys don't know that, right? And so I'll bet you every guy yesterday got his grass mowed, his weed eaten done. He's got all of that done because he's going to dance and make merry watching the NFL football games today. Guilty as charged. As Christians, sometimes we too are seeking that immediate gratification. We face certain trials and hardships in life, and so we pray to the Lord and we want that immediate response from Him. Or if we're seeking an answer on something, we want that immediate answer. We want Him to come in and make everything all right and fix whatever the problem is. You know, we seek that immediate answer. We seek that immediate response. But I think sometimes what we fail to recognize is why aren't we getting that immediate response? What's missing? Or what is the Lord doing that we're not seeing? And sometimes I think the answer is we don't always get to know everything. The mysteries of the Lord, I don't believe, will be fully revealed to us until we're face to face with Him. As the Apostle Paul said, you know, we see now through a glass darkly. But when we're face to face with Him, we will see clearly all of the things and the mysteries that we formerly did not understand. Today, what I would like us all to see and recognize is that sometimes those trials that keep coming and knocking us sideways can oftentimes be the result of how we are laying our foundation as Christians. If you would, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. And I'm going to make sure I go slow enough that you have time to get to the scripture and verse so you can follow along. Matthew chapter 7. If any of you were here last time I spoke, you will remember the last time I spoke, many of the questions that were asked. I did like an interview with Jesus was kind of the topic of the sermon, and it was asking questions from the first person of Jesus to you, the congregation, and a lot of these were out of this chapter, so that kind of gives you a little bit of context. And you can, we're going to be starting in verse 24. So if you kind of look at the verses ahead of that, Jesus is giving all of this basically rules to live by. Judge not so you won't be judged. Ask and it will be given to you. Remove the speck from your own eye before you remove the beam from your brother's eye. All of these types of great advice that Jesus gave us to live by. So let us begin in verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, I'm sure as Christians, we all realize that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He is that rock. And first and foremost, our Christian walk has got to be founded and rooted on him, who is the chief cornerstone. But if we notice, where are we getting this information from right now? We're getting this information from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, which is in our Bible. Every one of us have one of these. So, firm foundation as a Christian obviously starts first here at the cross when you ask Jesus into your heart. But after that, it starts by getting into this, understanding this. There's so much out there in the world today. You can watch a YouTube video. You can write a, you can read a book that's written from someone else's perspective of how they interpret this. But you can also ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you and open up your Bible and read it for yourself. Because God is going to reveal His Word to you just how He needs you to receive it. When you receive it because of how someone else tells you to, is that always the Holy Spirit speaking to you? And those are just questions I ask to you as we talk about laying this foundation that we're talking about. As we move on in verse 27, and the rain descended, verse 26, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes taught. As we compare the story of the little pigs, we can clearly see that the first two little pigs very quickly and foolishly built their house upon the sand. When the big bad wolf came along, their houses were very, very easily blown down by the big bad wolf. Who could we say takes the place of the big bad wolf in this story? Satan. Made me wonder when whoever wrote this, what their thought logic was when they wrote this story. I believe it could possibly be a biblically based story. Easily blew their houses down because they were built on the sand. Maybe they could have been Christians that had that first encounter with God and asked Jesus into their heart. But then after that, how did they build that foundation? Were they reading their Bibles, building up that foundation, those daily things that we all need to remind ourselves as we go through the storms and trials of life? What is it that's going to anchor us? You know, when that storm blows up and the wind's kicking at 120 miles an hour, if you're anchored by a thread, you're going to be blown away quickly. But if you're anchored to a rock, now we got something different going on. As Christians today, we need to ask ourselves, how are we building our houses? For this comparison, let us call our faith the house that we are building. Because I think we all can agree it's our faith that is always, as a Christian, what's in question, what comes under attack. Where is the devil always going to attack you? He's going to attack your faith. He's going to attack your faith. Because if he can get you to lose faith, then you start to lose heart. And pretty soon you start slipping. Lost my place here. Okay, our faith is the house we're building. I think we can all agree that when we came to know Christ and were first filled and baptized by the Holy Spirit, that awesome encounter with God really lights a fire under us. If anybody remembers the first time you were filled in the Holy Spirit, I believe we all do. If you've had that encounter, if you had not had that encounter, I would invite you to seek that encounter with God today. Because you need that. You need that power to make it through this walk that Jesus has for you. God really lights a fire under us. The real question I want to tackle is, how are we keeping that fire kindled? Can anyone relate to the experience of having that first encounter and continuing to feel the power and the Holy Spirit and the presence of God in their lives? But little by little, you feel it start to decrease. Why is that? What's going on? To keep a fire going, we've got to keep it kindled. So what we as Christians, new Christians, can have a tendency to do, and I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. I'm basically pointing the finger at myself, if you wonder where I get most of my information from. We start out and we throw in bunches of small sticks, which burn very hot. Small sticks, any of you grabbed a bunch of brush, throw it into a fire, it burns hot. I mean, those flames go high. Burns very hot, and it produces a great fire, but the small sticks burn up very quickly, and the fire quickly dwindles down and can go out. We don't want to get so caught up in seeking encounter after encounter as Christians that we base our faith only from these encounters and experiences. My wife recently made a very profound and accurate statement, which was quoted from Tony Kemp. If an encounter with God is what you are seeking, then open up your Bible and start reading. Turn with me now to the book of John, Chapter 20, and we will start in verse 19. Good thing about everybody having Bibles, you can tell when everyone's there because you can hear the pages stop. If everybody's on their phone, it's kind of hard to know. Might hear some clicking going on. At least you do when I text on my phone. I'm one of those guys. All right, we're starting in the book of John, chapter 20, starting in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said to Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Wow, can you imagine that? "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." See, Thomas, he's got to have this encounter with Jesus here. The only way he's going to believe is as if he has this encounter with Jesus. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach in your finger, and behold my hands, and reach in thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me and thou hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe." And I think it's safe to say we know that our God loves us so much. Before the story of the wise man and the foolish man, when we listen to the sayings of Jesus, Jesus tells us, if you seek me, you will find me. If you knock, it will be opened. Ask and you will receive. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, mountains will move. And so when we read this story, I can tell you from personal experience, if you seek God, God is not, it's not as if God doesn't want you to have an encounter with him. He will give you that encounter. He will fill you. He will baptize you with his Holy Spirit. But as a Christian, I'm warning you today, those storms and those trials are going to come. Those dry seasons are going to come. Those moments when you feel like you're reaching for God and you can't feel him. You can't find him anywhere. That's because he's working on building something in you, and it's called faith. And the way that he builds faith is through those trials, and that's the time to pick up this Bible and read in it. It is filled with experiences of all those that went before us, all the saints that went before us that have been through these trials and how they came up out the other side of them. The story of David, great story. I mean, and so many encouraging words were written from David. And the one thing that I always admired about David the most was, in spite of everything, David never lost his faith. And David remained humble. He made mistakes, but he didn't go over here and say, "I'm right, and this is what I'm going to do." He humbled himself before God, as Emily spoke about earlier. As a country, if we would seek the Lord and humble ourselves, the results that David saw in his next generation, in his son Solomon, God was faithful. Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me and thou hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." That would be us. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." You ever wonder about that? What else he did? But the word is telling us, this word is for us to understand. Here's just a few things that Jesus did and a few things that the disciples and everyone else were witnesses to. And there's many more than aren't in this book. Some scholars tend to believe that if everything Jesus did was written down, there wouldn't be enough books to contain it. "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing you might have life through his name." His words are written as an encouragement to you, and they're still here for us today. when we go through these various trials to help lay that firm foundation of faith based on what Jesus taught us. As a Christian, the most profound encounter you can have with God is through His Word. John 1:1 tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, capital W, was with God, and the Word was God." This same Word became flesh in the form of Jesus and dwelt among us. So whenever you pick up this Bible, you're picking up God. When you read this Bible, you're taking God into you. These very words are Jesus Himself. If you think of it that way, that's why it's a meal. When we take the Word of God and begin applying it to our lives, brick by brick, we begin to build that firm foundation which is made to withstand every single storm and trial that the enemy can throw at us. As we are fed daily by God's Word, that fire that the Holy Spirit built inside of us begins being kindled by logs instead of sticks. The sticks that once burned up quickly have now been replaced by large logs, which burn long and much, much hotter. The encounter we are seeking with God is now being met daily as we rely on His Word to mold us and shape our lives. That house, which we call our faith, now sits and has been built on a firm foundation, and soon begins to turn into a faith that can move mountains. Have you ever thought about that Bible verse? It sounds crazy at first when you listen to that. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. The question today is, what is your mountain? We all have different mountains. You know, we see this literal picture of a mountain and think about moving it. But we know Jesus also spoke in parables. When we talk about moving a mountain, what's your mountain? What's the thing that always gets you? If I speak from personal experience as a Christian, I would say the one thing that always gets me, oftentimes, is myself. What condemnation are you bringing on yourself today? What lie have you let the enemy put into your head today that you're now feeding off of, and it's dragging you down? It's dragging you down. It's making you feel guilty. I'm here to tell you this morning that's a lie from the pit of hell. I don't know what your mountain is, but I know that Jesus Christ, our Jesus, hung on that cross and He paid the price for that mountain. And so whatever it is, what you need to do is proclaim the name of Jesus over that mountain today and claim your victory in Him. Amen. If it's something that you need to go face to face with God and ask for His forgiveness and repent of, then by all means do that. But stop letting the devil drag you down with his lies. My Bible says otherwise. Now, as we return to the story, we look at the third little pig. Now, the third little pig was much wiser than the first two and took the time to plan out his house well. He made sure his house was built on a firm foundation of brick. I would even imagine that his house took a great deal of planning to construct. He had to design it. He had to count the cost to build it. And then he had to work very hard to obtain the necessary resources for its construction. Kind of makes me think about Noah. Then he had to spend a lot of time and energy on its construction. When the big bad wolf came along, not only did his house stand up to the blowing of the big bad wolf, but it also provided shelter and saved the lives of his brothers also. Have you ever known someone like that had that faith? That person that brother or sister in Christ that when your faith was wavering, you knew if you could just get on the phone and talk to them or have them speak some life into you, their faith would also save you. So when we talk about building a foundation as a Christian, our goal, our challenge as Christians is to build that foundation in our life so strong that we can be that brother or sister in Christ that helps reach out and save someone else, as the third little pig was able to do. Turn with me now to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. As I begin to close this message, we will start in verse 1. Okay. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and he said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, you say, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples came to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. They're missing the point. When Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Jesus is saying, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten about all the things that I've done already? When you're losing your faith, what about when you first came to me? Do you remember that? I'm sure we've all had miracles in our lives. We've all seen the 5 loaves of bread that fed the thousands here. And how many baskets you took up? How is it that you don't understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? What should we beware of? There's plenty of these similar things that Jesus is warning about today. Then they understood how he bade them not beware of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, the Son of Man? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but who says ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee also, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now let's make sure we're clear about this verse. Was Peter the rock? No, Jesus was the rock. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Now we know that the apostles also laid the foundation with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And so that's what he's talking about here. But more than that, if we jump back into verse 17, we see that it's not flesh and blood that revealed it to them, that revealed it to Peter. And so that's kind of what we're talking about here today when we count on this Bible as our source of information, us and Holy Spirit versus flesh and blood, which may be another person. Peter realized who Jesus was. Peter came to know who Jesus was because he had a direct encounter with Jesus himself. This book is Jesus. We can have that encounter every single day of our lives. And so that's the big takeaway. That's what I want you to see today, on top of those encounters that we do have with the Holy Spirit. We know those are wonderful. We know God sends those. Sometimes God will send that when we're in our deepest, darkest place because he knows we need it when we cry out to him. But he also provides that every day. It's available to us every day through his word. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savor not of the things of God, but of those of man. So and that's kind of a profound passage there. What it's pointing out is where are we putting our faith at? Right here, Peter was in the flesh, and that's why Jesus rebuked Satan there, because that's what Satan does. He gets in through the flesh. Then Jesus said unto his disciple, If any man will come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, he shall find it. For what is profited a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here today which will not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So when Jesus taught, in my opinion, and it could be the Holy Spirit that helps, and I know it is, he seemed to speak very clearly, very concisely. There wasn't much confusion about what he was trying to say to his disciples. And so these same words I share to you, although through the story of the three little pigs, to where we as Christians, we need to have that firm foundation. Without that firm foundation, we'll be blown and tossed on the waves. Every little storm that blows up is going to pull us, it's going to sidetrack us, it's going to knock us sideways. So I encourage you, this firm foundation is right here in this book, the Bible, to pick it up on a daily basis. So today as we close, I have one simple question to ask you. What is your faith built on? Is it built upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ? Is it built upon the very Word of God, which has been revealed through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ in the flesh when he came and dwelt among us. This morning I would like to extend an invitation to anyone who has been struggling with their faith. Maybe you don't know what it means to have the firm foundation of Jesus Christ as your rock. If that's you today, I would invite you to come forward. I'd love to pray with you. I would love to lead you to Jesus and allow you to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've just been going through a lot of storms and trials and struggles in your life lately, and you just need a fresh touch from God this morning. Maybe you've been praying and seeking, and the answer you are watching for just doesn't seem to come. If this is you, I invite you to come forward and pray with me. I would ask the other elders that are here to come forward and ask the Lord to come alongside you and help place your faith on the firm foundation that only he can. Whatever it is, I don't know what your struggle is. I don't know what your mountain is. I don't know what mountain needs moved in your life today. But I know that the Lord that I serve, the God that I serve, can give you the faith to see that mountain moved. You just keep believing, keep trusting in him. If you need that prayer this morning, please come forward. Please let us pray with you this morning. God bless you.